Welcome to Pints and Politics. I'm your host, Dan Parsons. Hey, every month we sit down and talk about the newsmakers and policymakers and the people that make a difference in Nebraska. And we do it while enjoying a delicious Nebraska craft beer. So welcome to episode number 45. And let me introduce our guests, Mr. Paul Hamill. Let me give it's going to be some work to condense this down, Paul. But Paul
Hamill
has covered the Nebraska legislature and Nebraska state government for decades.
Yeah.
That's what it says in your bio.
It feels like decades, yes. You're right.
Well, and I have enough gray hair to say that I've known you for decades.
Okay.
So anyway,
all right.
You started your career reporting for the Omaha Sun and was named editor of the Papillion Times in 1982.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That was decades ago. He later worked as a sports reporter for the Lincoln Journal Star and joined the Omaha World Herald in 1990. Legislative reporter, roving state reporter, Lincoln bureau chief for the Omaha World Herald. You've won awards. You've done a lot of work. You're vice president of the John G. Neihardt Foundation. But most importantly for some of our viewers and listeners, you're the secretary of the Nebraska Hop Growers Association.
Dan, I'm glad you ferreted that out. Yeah. We have a family farm and there's a little extra space and I homebrew with a couple guys, and so I had grown hops in my backyard. So
very cool.
It's a long story short, but yeah, I grow hops up there and there's a couple brew pubs that buy from me, and it's an interesting but not lucrative hop.
Yes. I'm familiar with those types of hops.
Are you?
Well, I'm a drummer.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
You
well,
know,
come on.
It's a similar thing. Okay. I don't make anything. Well, I make noise, but
oh,
it's
no.
not profitable. But a little interesting tidbit. Paul was actually a guest on episode number 11, which was in July of 2017. Hmm. And this is episode number 45 in February of 22, so do the math. But we were out at Zipline, out on West O.
Yeah.
With Craig Rear with Zipline. I don't know what we talked about. We drank good beer.
We talked about something about the legislature,
yeah.
But I think we enjoyed the beer as much
yeah.
as anything. Yeah.
So welcome back, Paul.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, great to have you here. And Aaron Sandiford. Aaron,
thanks for
rushing down from Omaha, picking up family from the airport, filing a news story. Thanks for being here, mate.
It has been a strange, wild ride for the last month, just getting started with these folks. It's fun to be back with Paul and Cindy Gonzalez on this, and to be back with you. I cut my teeth a little in politics and some other things in this state, so it's a little bit fun to be back at it.
Well, and let me just remind folks of what you've done, Aaron. So you've tackled various news roles in the 20-plus years of your career.
It's a nice way of saying I'm old.
That's right, but not as old as Paul and I. You've reported on politics, crime, courts, government, and business for the Omaha World Herald and the Lincoln Journal Star. You spent several years as an assignment editor and worked two stints as an editorial writer. I remember those days. And from 2005 to 2007, you were the communications director for Governor Dave Heineman.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride. I a lot of people say I can't stick to one job, but that's okay. It's kind of fun to sample a little bit of everything, but in the end, I've still got print in my veins.
That's it's great. It's great to have you here. Originally from North Carolina, and then you worked for almost a year as an investigative reporter for KMTV.
You know, that was a great education. I thought I knew how to write tight until I had to write for broadcast.
Yeah.
It's a little different when you have no choice but to hit that out time.
Yep.
You learn discipline real quick about what you can leave out.
I think it's fascinating. I don't think there's a lot of people that make that transition from print to broadcast. Maybe, I don't recall.
Not many, no. Aaron did it well, I know that. But yeah, we're so glad to be working together again because, you know, our job now is NebraskaExaminer.com.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. What a terrible host I am.
No,
so,
that's all right.
So my friends Paul and Aaron are here because you've helped start a new nonprofit news organization in Nebraska called Nebraska Examiner. And let me just give you the quick and dirty nonprofit, nonpartisan news organization. Nebraskans want accountability. This is from your website. From their elected officials and government. Are their tax dollars well spent? Are state agencies and local governments responsive to the people? And you guys are going to help do that. And you said it when you walked in. Paul's just a writing machine. How many stories have you written in the past week?
I forget.
So do we. Yeah. There are days where you look on the site. It's kind of awe-inspiring to look on the site and you just go, Paul Hamill, Paul Hamill, Paul Hamill, Paul Hamill, Paul Hamill, Paul Hamill.
Well, there was a reason for that. And readers will find out this week why that was. But you know, we both worked in the print industry, and I think, you know, we've all seen what's happened. It's sad to say, but newspapers just can't sustain the kinds of news staffs they used to have. And this state's newspaper, or statesnewsroom.com, is stepping into the void. They have 25 newsrooms across the country, and Nebraska is the 26th. And they're a very high-quality organization with some really, really high-quality reporters. And, our goal is to provide that kind of news that's not being covered anymore. So.
You guys know me both. Not only do I need good reporting for my clients and for my job, but I love journalism. I never was a journalist. I studied journalism. But it's so important for the state. It's so important for democracy. I know those are cliches, but it's so true.
Right.
And every day, we see it deteriorating every day with journalism in this country, in this state. And so thank you so tell us a little bit about the organization. But before you do that, let's pour ourselves a beer.
So
we have several choices. Paul,
Vienna Lager brewed by a friend of mine, Gary Grobeck, who is really a master brewer. And so when he heard I was going to be on a show called Pints and Politics, he says, give you some beer to take. So,
well, it's delicious, but let's move on. So you got a mention for him. You gave him a mention. So
great. Yeah, he's good.
Yeah. do you want to introduce this beer?
Well, Cross Strain is the number one craft brewery in the state.
Yeah.
I just learned that when I was doing a story about self-distribution by craft brewers, which is a real issue in the legislature.
Yes.
And they're located in La Vista, and they make some really high quality beers. Their Fairy Nectar is probably their most popular beer. But they just do a really nice job, I think.
Wow.
I think you did well, Paul.
Oh, no.
You're sipping on that one.
Yeah. But I could talk a little bit about Examiner.com.
Yeah, please
Nebraska
do.
Examiner.
Yeah, tell us how it came to be and who else is on your team.
Well, I think the important thing about us is we provide a daily report. And we cover state government. We cover Omaha development. We cover politics. Aaron, I think, is the best political reporter in the state.
Yeah.
And has been bird dog in this governor's race. Because it needs to be covered. As everybody knows, a Republican primary usually is it. You know.
And here we are just days away from the filing deadline for non-incumbents. And so the field is probably set.
Yeah, I think you're actually the only question remaining is, does somebody step in at the very last minute? And by somebody, I think we mean my former boss.
Well, yeah, somebody pointed out that in his statement about he wasn't running, he didn't say he wasn't running.
Right.
He just said he decided that he wasn't going to file right now.
Yeah.
Well, a little but bit of
think,
a back.
You think there's a chance of that, Aaron Sandiford?
You want to break some news?
No. What I would say is I never shut the door on that man until it's shut.
I'd agree with that.
But I would say it's very unlikely. I think he's enjoying being grandpa, and I think it'd be really hard for him to step away from that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But I know he traveled the state and he was thinking about it. In fact, that was part of the reason. I don't know that I'd have taken this job if he hadn't said no.
Really?
Because it would have been really uncomfortable
awkward.
For me to try
that would have been awkward.
Cover that. I mean, I can do it,
yeah.
but it would have been weird. But I think he wants to focus on trying to get the candidates to talk about issues that matter.
Mm.
And I think he's had a real hard time trying to get folks to focus.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
I think the editorial pages have been full of criticism of the political ads.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
the cocking of the shotguns and standing by the border. I think people want to hear what these candidates
Yeah, no matter where you're at on the political spectrum, and I have some hard opinion. Oh, by the way, I'm so sorry. What a terrible host I am. Cheers, guys.
Oh. Cheers. And forgive me for just drinking anyway. After the day I've had, I needed it.
Well, you should, yeah. So two sentences about this beer.
Helly Creek.
Yeah.
It's a really nice light lager. I mean, it's a beautiful little beer, I think.
It is good.
It is good.
It's an easy drinking.
And don't forget the infusion beer.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Okay.
That's our dessert.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Of course I picked dessert. let the big guy pick dessert. Yeah, I know how that goes.
But we'll, as always, we'll put notes on the website.
I'll just make a couple comments about the legislature. It's
yeah.
just the most incredible session because they have this huge pile of money
yeah.
to spend.
Yeah.
They've got $1 billion in federal American Rescue Act money. And they have this huge surplus of money. So they're taking big ideas and dusting them off and rolling them out and seeing
if
they
fly. A big lake down the street.
Yes, the big lake.
That was your story today.
I toured down, yep. If you want to look at NebraskaExaminer.com, I got a story about the big lake, you know, and people around it wondering, well, how am I going to be affected? Which
sure, fair question.
It's kind of a really secluded, out of the way place that people have been living in for years, you know, without anybody bothering them. And now there's going to be this massive lake next door, or they're proposing a massive
proposing,
lake.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
yeah. What did the speaker tell you?
just trying to get my hands on the resignation letter from Senator Groney so that I can post it.
So how did that all come down? I mean, those of us that have been around the legislature and the Capitol know that it doesn't take long for a rumor to get started in the Capitol. It's a pretty small cadre of folks.
The Hall of Hot Winds.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yes.
In fact, that's how we probably met for the first time when I was back working for the Attorney General's office. So, I spent a few years in that building, and it does. I mean, there's not a lot of secrets in that building.
No.
And it's funny, Groney said that like 3 weeks ago he was asked to apologize. And I think he felt like that had solved it, that it was going to go away. Well, then the middle of last week, we started hearing rumors about, you know, there's these photos and Senator Groney is, they're going to look at this and it could be trouble. I don't think anybody anticipated Senator Groney just saying, okay, that's it, I quit.
Right. It
doesn't seem like his personality.
Yeah. No, but he kind of runs hot and cold. I mean, he'll get up on the mic and talk about how he just hates being in Lincoln, you know. But he loves getting on the mic and debating people. He's a really interesting and abrasive and sometimes insulting senator, but he's a true populist, I think, and really a unique senator who has admitted that he did something he shouldn't have, but I think he feels like it, you know, I apologize, that was it, but he doesn't want to go through the whole.
Well, and now, so your story that you filed a few minutes ago.
Right. I just followed up to see if he'd actually resigned. I mean, someone who runs as hot and cold as Groney, you never know if they're going to resign until they have resigned. I've just seen too many things in this business where somebody says it, rethinks it, gets mad, and decides not.
And gets five phone calls from people that convince him otherwise.
Right, right. Yeah, and I think he'd be the kind of person who could have done
right.
that.
But so he has resigned.
He has resigned effective 11:59 tonight.
Okay.
Governor's seen the letter, so I mean, and we're about to see the letter. That's okay. What I was texting about. Okay. So I'll try to take a break in just a minute to forward that to my bosses so our readers can see it on Nebraska.
I think we're going to see an appointment pretty quickly because the legislature right now has got this kind of strange balance. Now there's just enough Democrats and progressives, I guess, to block any kind of conservative bill they don't like, and there's just enough pretty hardcore conservatives to block anything that they don't like on the other end.
So what you're telling us is nothing's going to happen the rest of the session.
Well, there are some things we've just gone through a series of filibusters, and we're in the third one, and that's on the income tax cut proposal. And I don't think it's got the votes, although I know they're working on some amendments this weekend, and you never know in the legislature they might work something out.
But on the Groney thing, the one thing I don't want people, especially your listeners, to not catch, one of the biggest things to come out of this is the people who serve in the legislature that care about the staffers. I mean, they really emphasize the importance of changing the procedures for how staffers can report.
Because it's not an easy process. Yeah. There is no process.
Right.
Well, I mean, there's a process, but we did a story a couple of years ago, and you heard all these complaints from, you know, mostly female staffers about comments and things, but you know, very few of them come forward to make a complaint because it becomes public, and like you know, it's such a small little place; everybody knows everybody, and then somebody might get blacklisted from getting it. You know, well, working there.
And for those that maybe don't know the system, especially now because of term limits, I mean, those staffers are valuable. And just because their boss is term limited, they continue on and they have valuable information and
many
knowledge.
Many of them have more institutional knowledge than the senators they serve.
Absolutely. And so they know
most
that,
of them.
They know that this is a career for them if they want. And so that's a great point that there needs to be some institutional reform in order for these folks to feel more safe in their work environment.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I would feel comfortable. I mean, the way that someone put it to me that was really interesting is imagine you worked for a company, and if you wanted to report an HR complaint, you didn't go to HR, but you had to go to the chairman of the board and the board of directors and say your boss or your boss's boss treated you poorly or sexually harassed you. And they had to talk about your complaint and decide.
That's a really good analogy.
I mean, that would be a really difficult thing to do.
Well, and Senator over the weekend has asked for investigation, Senator Hunt.
It's weird, but I spent way too much time looking into revenge porn law for another story. And there is, I mean, there was initially some disagreement over whether Senator Groney forwarded that email.
Right.
And
discrepancies
and who he forwarded it to. Now it sounds like from the person you spoke with, I mean, from the victim, that maybe he just forwarded it to himself, which might be creepy, but not illegal.
From his personal phone to his state computer?
She said, I asked her, you know, because the original report was that he had forwarded it to others and there were creepy comments. She said, no, I just saw them on, you know, she had access to his computer.
Right, because he asked her to do something.
Yeah, he asked her to clean up his emails and stuff. She saw the photos. She says, I don't know if he forwarded them. That's what she said. Now,
and the other issue is it might have been his state computer.
That could be a problem.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Let's put a bow on that for now. Political season. This is an election year. Oh, my goodness. I said, and it's no secret that I've, you know, involved in politics here and there.
Yeah.
But I don't have a dog in any of the races currently and have no clients. So I can freely talk with you about it, any of this. But certainly the governor's race had the potential to shape up and still does to be one of the most knocked down, high profile, most expensive race in Nebraska history. I mean, for a while there, it looked like we were going to get a former governor versus the current governor's favorite son versus the former president's favorite son. One of those has said, I'm probably not going to run. Your old boss,
right? All Governor of them could spend in the neighborhood of $5 to $10 million.
Yeah. And so here we are.
I've been at it since the middle of summer. You know.
Yeah. So it's an incredible race, and you've been following it.
Yeah. The hardest thing in this race is it hasn't been run like a traditional campaign. You've got one lead candidate, probably the favorite in this race is Charles Herbster, because he basically self-funded. So he raised quite a bit of money and he spent it early on advertising and defined himself often before anybody could come at it.
That's right.
And he doesn't have a record. He's never served in office.
Yep.
Some people see as a negative, because a governor's got to manage a big state budget and a lot of agencies. But
Ben Nelson hadn't served in office.
He'd been banking director, insurance director. Yeah,
yeah, he had a little bit more government experience.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
More so than Bob Kerry.
That's true.
Experience.
Yeah.
There's some management, and it takes a while for, I took Pete Ricketts a while to get his legs. You know, he got kind of beat up his first year.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Right. But with that self-funding, I mean, the hard question right now is Charles Herbster running Pete Ricketts' beanie hat campaign,
right,
where he self-funded and it failed?
Yep.
Or is he running Pete Ricketts' second campaign where he figured it out and was able to raise enough money and find a lane? The former president's endorsement of Herbster makes that a really complicated deal. When the endorsement came, the president was extraordinarily popular with Nebraska Republicans, and he probably still is.
Yep.
But there's no telling how popular he's going to be when May comes.
Right? There's a lot of things swirling around the former president, and just anecdotally talking to other Republicans, I think people are seeing that there may be some concerns on what those legal fights may come of. And certainly there's going to be a segment of the population of Republican voters that aren't going to listen or care about any of that. But on the other hand, there's going to be others who are going to start peeling away.
Yeah.
If some of those legal actions continue.
I think
continue
one of the interesting things will be, when does Pillen go negative?
And he started a little bit recently.
But, Herbster has been hitting him hard on the CRT. And where was he on the Board of Regents? He didn't complain about catching that fumble against Oklahoma. But, it'll be interesting to see when Pillen decides, I got to really tear into this Charles W. Herbster.
And I don't know if you want to talk about it, but we do have a couple weeks yet before non-incumbent filing deadline. Is anybody else going to get in?
I haven't heard of anybody that would be. The problem with a race this rich, Pillen's already in for at least, 6 million? The Herbster folks are already in at about that level and probably can go to 10. At that buy-in level, really the only person in seven digits other than them is Brett Lindstrom. And as crazy as it sounds, I hear enough. I have a lot of sources and friends in the 3rd District that decides Republican primaries in this state. And that's Nebraska's rural areas and central Nebraska thrown in too. But it's a lot of folks that maybe don't like the negativity from the top two candidates that are looking for another lane.
We saw it in the Senate race with Deb Fischer.
Deb Fischer, maneuvered around Stenberg and Bruning. Do you think that's possible for Lindstrom? He's an Omaha guy. How does he appeal out in the 3rd District?
I think by being there. And
he's traveled.
And he's traveled quite a bit more than the other candidates. Although I would say Pillen now has gone to all 93 counties.
Yep.
He's going a lot more. Herbster's actually traveled the least of any of the candidates.
Yep.
He spent the least time on the road. Mm-hmm. And 3rd District voters, they like to touch you, talk to you. They want to hear from you.
Yep.
And so they're playing a little bit of catch up right now. But I think Lindstrom has a puncher's chance. I would still say Herbster's the favorite, with Pillen the most likely to pass him. But he's there and he needs to be considered. And honestly, I wouldn't completely leave out Teresa Thibodeau.
Really?
I don't think she's likely, but the longer she stays in the race, the harder the lane is for Lindstrom to win.
Well, certainly there's some contrast. She's female. She's younger than a couple of the other people, at least. And
oh yeah.
So the other political race, I'd love to get both of your input on, is the House race.
And Aaron will know as much as I do.
And Jeff Fortenberry. So just for whatever it's worth.
You know, the most of the money when all this happened. You know, first of all, nobody thought Jeff Fortenberry would have a race this year.
Yep.
And then this indictment came down in October, and suddenly the Republicans started to wonder about, well, are we going to lose this seat? You know, they don't want to lose. They want to recapture the House, and you know, Nebraska is going to contribute to that if we lose this seat to the Democrats. So they, I don't know if they recruited, but they've got Mike Flood to run against.
Certainly a well-known
Jeff Fortenberry.
I mean, is. Probably a lot of people are aware. I mean, Senator Flood had a chance to become governor.
Right. And he was
would have been the front runner.
Right. Yeah. At that point, he would have been the front runner.
And his wife got sick and she had cancer. And he said, he was term limited, left the legislature and just said, I'm going to hit the pause button on my political career and take care of the family. And he did that. And then came back, ran for the legislature, was elected to the legislature. But now is running for against Jeff Fortenberry.
But I think a lot of observers thought that Fortenberry would cut a deal and either bow out or resign later. But he's firing away.
It looks like,
and he is working hard to paint Mike Flood as somebody that is a pro-immigrant and, you know, pro-tax increases and that. Flood has a record to run on, and that's what happens when you serve in the legislature.
That's right.
for eight years.
And Senator Flood was known to be able to broker compromises and get stuff done.
Right.
And he also fought some pretty high profile fights in that early stage with Dave Heineman about benefits for the children of immigrants who are here without papers, and that's with some Republican voters, that'll matter.
Yep.
And the most interesting thing that's going on right now is framing him as a squish is an interesting decision because it gets into the pro-life politics. There's a whole lot of church members that want to be consistently pro-life. Mm-hmm. And they might see Flood that way. So it's one of those issues that could work or it could boomerang.
So we're running out of time, guys. Okay. I told you we would. But I don't want to get away without talking about Aaron's beer that you chose.
I saw a friend of mine who likes to try unique beers post about a glazed donut beer. And I had to try it. I mean, I got to be completely frank. You had me at glazed.
And this is from Infusion, from La Vista, right?
Yep.
Or Benson. And they have a location in Miller, too.
Yeah.
Very good beer. They
have
a vanilla bean ale. It's so good.
Yes, they do. I've had that one.
That's their big beer.
But, you know, it's one of those, at my size, you don't go to Krispy Kreme very often, but if you can drink one, you're going to be okay.
Well,
and I don't know about you guys. If I want a glazed donut, I will go to Krispy Kreme. I mean, I think this shows how inventive Nebraska breweries are becoming.
Oh, it even smells like it.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll put these in the notes and we can follow
around.
That's
a good kind of problem.
So, okay. So as we close up, we talked about how you can find Nebraska Examiner. We'll put that in the notes. And you can subscribe, and you'll get
free. You get a newsletter,
And you get a newsletter every day.
Right,
but we would love donations. I mean, to be frank, we're only going to be supported as long as Nebraskans like our work.
And that's exactly right. And so there's opportunities. I mean, I'm paying out a lot of money for both of the World Herald and the Journal Star.
So are we.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so
we love those places.
I'm a new donor to Nebraska Examiner, and we encourage our listeners and viewers to do the same thing. So do that. And then in the meantime, We'll just look for your bylines, guys.
Well, and don't forget our partner, Cindy Gonzalez.
Yeah, yeah. Talk a little bit about Connie and all the other folks that you drug over from the World Herald to the Nebraska
Examiner.
Well,
I mean, we didn't drag them, but Kate Folsom's our editor, and she'd been there for years and years and is in the Omaha Press Club Hall of Fame.
Yes. She's,
If we dragged her, we dragged her out of retirement.
Yeah. She was the editorial page editor when she left, and just is a great editor and makes our stories better. But we were so fortunate to get Cindy Gonzalez, who knows every cranny of Omaha and all the development news. She helped break that story on the first day we were up on Mutual of Omaha taking the space where the Omaha Library was. And had a very interesting story about Nebraska Furniture Mart that was feeling kind of uneasy in central Omaha and was maybe even looking to move out by Nebraska Crossing because of some floodplain issues. Well, of course, the city doesn't want to see them leave, so they are working on the floodplain. I don't know if they're going to divert
the Papio Creek. I've never seen a creek move, but I think we might.
But if we have to, see it. If we have to throw old sofas into the floodplain to raise it up, that's what we have to do.
I made some calls to this state's newsroom a couple of years ago. I had no preconceived notions that we'd have such a good staff. We have
fantastic staff here. So is there talk about expansion of staff? I mean, are you just going to keep burning it at both ends?
Well, that could happen. I mean, it's we're getting our, we've only been up for 3 weeks.
So, wow. 3 weeks. I think
that is the next step. I mean, we're never going to do sports. We think there's plenty of sports out there.
I agree.
The World Herald and Journal Star do a great job on that as well. And, we're not going to cover the wrecks down the street and the crime and that.
But it's the important news that keeps...
we think it's important that this news gets out.
And the big thing is, I mean, I think as news becomes more what are we carrying rather than what are we looking at.
That's good, Aaron.
I think people want news without the ads. They want news without the pop-ups, and they want news without logging in. And I think there is some value in I'm hurried, I need to click this quick and just find out, to get in and get out. I mean, a lot of people just want to know what they need to know and get out. Yeah. And I think we respect people's time.
Well, and it's a model that's obviously worked. I mean, if we're the 26th state to have this model.
Iowa Dispatch has broken some great stories. The Kansas Reflector broke the St. Francis story, which we're all following now.
Okay.
Everybody might remember Dina Winter,
who
is now with the Minnesota affiliate, and she has been covering all these trials up there involving the police, George Floyd, and et cetera.
And it's funny you mentioned this Dina Francis thing. I was speaking this weekend for that legislative aid story with Senator Michaela Kavanaugh, who led a lot of that effort hold Sienna Francis accountable. And she mentioned point blank that she was really glad we got something like the Kansas Reflector, because the Reflector was the people who drew her attention to some of the things that were going on there.
Of course, they were based in Kansas, St. Francis was.
So right.
They got access to some things, but they have there's some really good reporters with every one of these.
Well, I'm just so thankful you guys took the time racing down from Omaha to join us this evening. We'll encourage people to continue to read your bylines and stories. And guys, I just let me thank our production, editing, and distribution by BCOM Solutions. Kim Remington, operations manager at Parsons Public Relations. Pints and Politics theme music that you might be hearing about now is written and performed by Lincoln's own Jack Rodenberg. Thank you to Fuse Co-working for this wonderful space in Parsons Public Relations. And our guests, Paul Hamill, Aaron Sandiford. Gentlemen, cheers.
There we go.
We'll see you soon.